is a commercial-free, streaming-on-demand presentation from 92.9 WBPN.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Rolling Stones.
Woo! 1973 was the best of times and the worst of times for the Rolling Stones. The best part? Coming off of their number one in the U.S. and U.K. double album, Exile on Main Street, and a sold-out world tour, the Stones were rock and roll superstars. The worst part? Mick Jagger and Rolling Stones' original bassist, Bill Wyman.
The reason we left England, you know, became tax exiles because we were totally broke, and you know, we owed the inland revenue more money than we could possibly earn when income tax was like 90% or where it was. It was a pity we had to leave. It wouldn't have been my choice.
When we left England and went to France in the end of the 60s, we had no money. On $1 million, you got left with 70,000. And you owed that more than that to the tax people, so you couldn't earn it. So you had to leave. But see, then you become bad boys again. You get accused of becoming tax exiles to line your pockets, you know. Same old thing again.
Keith Richards.
As far as Goat's Head Soup went, I realised that it was the first album that Mick and I really, truly had to deal with the exile bit, you know, because Exile on Main Street, hey, we were ready to go, we just lived in my basement, met everybody, and we just did what we did, and we were still, like, on each other's backs. But by the time we got to cut the Goat's Head Soup, Mick and I, all of the band had sort of, separated over the world for a while, you know, so we had to learn in a way and figure out how to write songs out of not being in each other's pocket all the time, you know.
And the French police had an arrest warrant out for Keith for drug offenses. But the Rolling Stones met all of those challenges and more as they went to work writing and recording their follow-up to Exile on Main Street, mostly in Kingston, Jamaica. What the band cooked up was a taste sensation for their fans. Goat's Head Soup, which topped the U.S. and U.K. music charts. Mick Jagger.
The weird thing about this record is it is a few bits and bobs. Most of it was focused in a way and recorded in Jamaica, but not all of it, you know. And it's obviously very different. When you listen to it, it's very different from Exile. But Exile was this sprawling thing that was recorded everywhere over a long time period. And Goat's Head's a bit more centred on what we recorded in Kingston, Jamaica. Though, of course, Exile was very mixed up with tracks from previous sessions and so on. So I don't know if we had... I don't really recall us having any sort of sit-down talk and saying, OK, we're going to make a record that's different. I don't think we did at all. But it's a very kind of quite eclectic bunch of songs, I think.
Hi, I'm Dan Meir. On September 4th, the Rolling Stones via Polydor Interscope UME serve up Goat's Head Soup in many different succulent versions, as a single or a double disc package, various vinyl editions, and a 4-CD box set. The special packages all feature 10 bonus tracks with alternate versions, outtakes, and 3 previously unreleased songs. The Super Deluxe release adds a complete show taped at the Forest National Arena in Brussels, Belgium in October 1973, along with a 120-page book and 4 posters. We'll revel in as many of these songs as we can stuff into the next hour as Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, Jimmy Page, Mick Taylor, and Bill Wyman toss in their perspectives. Welcome to the Rolling Stones Goat's Head Soup. All access.
Baby, you excite me.
Why you wearing my
A song that, through the decades, has achieved legendary status as a long-lost Rolling Stones gem featuring Jimmy Page on guitar. You can now get it on the deluxe and super deluxe releases of Goat's Head Soup. Mick Jagger.
Jimmy and I had a recent phone call about it because we were talking about, you know, when we did it. Because I remember doing this. There's another one that I remember doing more than once with different people. You know, I'm sure there's other versions of this.
Keith Richards.
Jimmy has turned up later on our sessions. He would just walk in, you know, so. But basically, it was just another one like that. And we weren't actually cutting it as a track. It was basically for a dub, a demonstration, you know, just to get the feel of it. But it came out with a lineup like that. They said, you know, we better use it, you know.
Jimmy Page.
Woody was living at the house called The Wick in Richmond, and he had a studio in the basement. He said that there was an invite to do a session, and it was with Keith, and that Ian Stewart was going to be there. So I thought, well, that's going to be really great. Let's go along. Ronnie didn't actually play on it, but Keith came in and he set up his equipment. I took my guitar along, and there was a drummer who I didn't know, the engineer I didn't know, Rick Gregg, the bass player. Yes, I knew him. Clearly, I knew Keith, and I also knew Stewart. So he started kicking it off to illustrate what it was. Obviously, I was paying a lot of attention to what he was doing, and then came up with like a riff that would go with a sort of contra flow to complement what he was doing. It was great to work with Keith in this sort of capacity, right from the sort of bare bones of something, you know. I'd worked with him in the past, but not like this, and it was really, really cool. By the end of the evening, we had a really pretty good take. But more recently, I was contacted, and apparently there was a lot of excitement that they realised that they had this, and not only that, I guess they're bloody, it was bloody good, isn't it? And they sent through a file of the mix. And I thought, wow, that sounds really powerful. It sounds great.
One of the more popular songs on Goat's Head Soup led people to falsely speculate that it was about old Lucifer.
Then you've got, like, Darcy and Mr. D, very kind of Stonesy thing. Are you dead? We're down in the graveyard.
Dancing, dancing, dancing so free. Dancing,
from the new Goat's Head Soup release, Dancing with Mr. D.
You've got stuff like Heartbreaker. It's like quite driven by Billy Preston's clavinet. Bobby Keys is on it. And then, yeah, you got the horn parts for the Heartbreaker and all that. That's very prominent.
Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo Heartbreaker's lyrics sparked some controversy at the time of its release.
Well, I think when you're watching something on TV that's unfolding in front of you, you know, and everyone's talking about it in bars and all the time on the phone, people saying, what do you think? And I think that it's good to be able to comment on what's going on and to be able to put it down in a song, you know. Some people have a different way of expressing things. Someone asked me, what validity have you got to express yourself? And I said, well, you know, I've got as much validity as anybody else, as someone writing in a newspaper or someone on a talk show, you know, and I just express what I think about events in song.
The police in New York City, they chased a boy right through the park. In a case of mistaken identity, they put a bullet through his heart. Heartbreakers, we're too foldable. She died in the dirt of an alleyway. Mother said she had no chance, no chance. Heartbreaker, my heartbreaker. She stuck the pins right in her heart. Heartbreaker, a pain river. Stuck love right in your heart. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
As a U.S.-only single, Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo-Doo Heartbreaker went to number 15 on the charts. Rolling Stones guitar player Mick Taylor.
That one. That's a song that I always liked, but we never really got a chance to play that live on stage. Although somebody gave me a bootleg cassette from Brussels in Belgium, 1973, and we must have played it a few times on that European tour, because we definitely played it on that show, because it's on this guy's cassette bootleg. But it wasn't a regular song in the set. I like it.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, the Super Deluxe versions include that Rolling Stone show from Brussels, which features this scintillating performance of an all-time Stones classic.
Women say I'm crazy. Always drive me raving. Make me burn a candle right now. Baby, just low down gamblers, cheat like I don't know how.
The new super deluxe version of Goat's Head Soup, the Rolling Stones recorded live from two different shows on October 17th, 1973 at the Forest National Arena in Brussels.
I can't really remember how our minds were working to say, yeah, that's the single. Very astute, anyway.
That's in the next helping of the Rolling Stones Goat's Head Soup, All Access, coming back to your table in just a few minutes.
We won't tell. Go ahead and sing along because you know the words and it's more fun that way. 92.9 WBPM.
Thanks for rejoining our celebration feast. This is the Rolling Stones Goat's Head Soup, All Access. Arrival! When the world got its first taste of Goat's Head Soup ahead of the album, it was love at first bite.
The lead-off song was like a, you know, nothing to do with Exile, was it? It's completely Angie, you know, pretty ballad with strings and, you know, absolutely nothing to do with Exile. So that in that, I suppose, if you're going, you know, for the lead-off track and you're thinking, oh, that's, it's completely, couldn't be further away from the sort of gritty stuff of Exile thing. We'd had ballads before that had been successful. I mean, obviously, we'd done a lot of ballads, so it wasn't weird to do an acoustic-style ballad. And then, you know, I could hear its musical, like, singable potential, if you like. You know, and then always wanted to put strings on it and so on and bring out the potential of it in that way.
I can't really remember how our minds were working to say, yeah, that's the single. Very astute, anyway. it did surprise me. I was expecting one of the rock and roll tracks to, like, the obvious single. Heartbreaker was, at the time, I remember saying, yeah, that sounds like a single to me. And everyone said, no, Angie's really strong, man. And also, it breaks a bit of the mold. And we had done this earlier on in the 60s with Little Red Rooster, which really nobody thought that was a single, you know, and it was a daring move at the time, you know, to put that out. And it worked, and so did Angie, you know. I wrote Angie in Switzerland, and Mick and I finally said, oh, we better get together. I don't even remember where. I said, let's see what we've got, you know. And so it really came out of that way of working, of sort of working a bit more separately and putting it together and saying, well, you know, what do you got? What do you got? Yeah.
Angel, when will those clouds all disappear? Angel, where will it lead us from here? With no loving in our souls and no money in our courts, but you can't say we're satisfied. Angel, you can't say we never tried.
number one smash around the world, the gorgeous Rolling Stones ballad, Angie. The majority of Goat's Head Soup was recorded at Dynamic Sound Studios in Jamaica.
Actually, when I listen to it, it's an interesting album to make. It was great. I mean, for me, you know, Jamaica was... there was so much happening in Jamaica at the time that, apart from us making a record there, it was the year that Bob Marley came out with Catch a Fire, and Jimmy Cliff with the Harder They Come soundtrack. And there was a feeling in the air in Jamaica that that something was happening. In a way, it reminded me of sort of London in 63. You know, it was there's something in the wind, and Jamaica was feeling that it was finally on the map. And it was a great moment, you know.
But not all of the album was done in Kingston. Some was recorded at Olympic Studios closer to home. Mick Jagger.
A lot of times you do them one time in one studio and then you do it again. So your recollection is sometimes the first time you do it. Silver Train, that was recorded in London before we got to Jamaica.
Adding to the confusion could be the musical chairs the band would play while writing and recording. Guitarist Mick Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you see we'd sit around in the studio and whoever was playing bass, when a particular idea or a song was in development, that would sometimes go down on the basic track, and sometimes that basic track would just be put on the shelf, or it would become the demo of a final song, and we would overdub other parts on that and build it up. Sometimes it was simply because in those days we used to do these crazy kind of open-ended sort of sessions for weeks where it seemed like the studio was like the only place that existed. We sort of live, sleep, and breathe and eat in the studio, you know, and whoever was around at the time would play whatever was needed, you know. And that's probably why on some tracks I play bass, on some tracks Keith plays bass. See, I'm a train that's coming. Think I wanna get on there.
See ya.
mistaking that scorching slide lead guitar of Mick Taylor on that one. Silver Train, wafting out of the newly reissued Goat's Head Soup by the Rolling Stones.
They said, oh, we found these three tracks. And I said, they're all terrible. That's always my initial reaction.
That's next, when the Rolling Stones' Goat's Head Soup All Access returns after we take a few minutes to cleanse our palates.
Our name is 92.9 WBPM. Yours is not.
Welcome back to our banquet celebrating the Rolling Stones' Goat's Head Soup's reissue. I'm Dan Meir, and this is All Access. Another beautiful ballad from the album features a tremendous vocal from Mick Jagger, Winter, Keith Richards.
Winter was a mixed song that came up with him when we just went in behind it. But I think Angie and Winter were written actually in winter, and they both show it in their own way, you know. I don't know, I can't remember where Mick spent that winter, but I know that I wrote Angie in a Swiss clinic. That was that, you know. It's not funky, you know. And, you know, at least, you know, if you write songs, you can, you've got an instrument, at least you don't go bananas, you know.
from the Rolling Stones' Goat's Head Soup. For a bunch of the Rolling Stones albums from the late 60s into the early 70s, including Goat's Head Soup, there were a group of musicians that added their brilliance to the magic of the Rolling Stones, like Billy Preston, Nicky Hopkins, and Ian Stewart.
Bobby Keys was there as well, and well, we've always played with all of our guys gravitated to us for some reason or another, but Nicky Hopkins was a brilliant pianist. Billy Preston, you couldn't ask for a better teacher about how to funk, you know. And also, you know, the fact that because we'd all hung around, it wasn't just like doing a normal session where somebody just walks in and says it goes like this. We all knew what was happening.
A song that's played at almost every Rolling Stones concert since it was released as a single back in 1968 is Jumpin' Jack Flash. Of course, they performed it at the Brussels show on their 1973 tour that's part of the Super Deluxe reissue of Goat's Head Soup. Keith takes you into the time tunnel to recount the song's beginnings.
Mick and I were in my house in England in the country, and we'd been up all night, and we were just both crashing up. Mick was on the couch and I was in an armchair with a guitar, and we were like on the verge, and suddenly this sound of these boots went by the window, clump, 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 and woke Mick up. What was that? I looked out the window, I said, oh, that's Jack. It was my gardener. He's leaping about a bit. I said, yeah, it's Jumpin' Jack. And then Flash came, and suddenly we were wide awake and we started to work. You never know when they're gonna come.
From the super deluxe reissue of the Rolling Stones' Goat's Head Soup, Jumpin' Jack Flash, recorded live in Brussels in 1973. Unfortunately, that's our last song. But let's let Mick and Keith get their last words in.
They said, oh, we found these three tracks. And I say, they're all terrible. That's always my initial reaction. They're all useless. And the reason they wasn't put out because they were all useless. But I mean, actually, I mean, I always liked the songs, but they weren't finished, you know. So the struggle is, you know, what have you got, you know, in the sound department, really? I mean, now, though, that you can make things sound quite good, easier than you used to be able to, sonically. I mean, they still sound like they recorded then, but they, even if they weren't perfect then, you know, you can make them sound a little better than much they did at the time. But I think these three songs were up there where the rest of the songs are on this record. I mean, I just think they stand up with the rest of the material. I mean, it's very nice that people remember them even, you know, because pop music by its very definition is so transient. So, you know, that people would want to buy it again or be interested in it, or except maybe a few specialists, but when it broadens, I mean, it's really, really nice for me. But I mean, I like to make them broader by finding these songs that haven't been released, and it makes it a bit more interesting as well. But the original album itself, you know, still stands up.
When I started this, there was no possibility of having this in as an end view to it. You know, this was a bunch of kids who just loved the blues and wanted to turn other people onto it, you know, and there seemed to be a few other guys and kids around London and wherever we went that kind of liked it. Also, we're very anti-pop and anti-stardom and anti-fame, you know, so, I mean, did we have to learn a few tricks? I mean, suddenly, you know, there you are, whether you like it or not, you're famous, you know. I mean, it still bugs people like Charlie Watts, and I guess to a certain extent me, you know, because it's like, you know, it's an unnecessary burden. But they say, no, of course, you need, you know, you realise that one goes in hand with the other, and there's no way out. But the only thing I emphasise about it, yeah, is that, I mean, we didn't ask for this or expect it. You know, and to us, it was the biggest shock in the world to suddenly be famous and a band and people going berserk over you, because it just wasn't on the itinerary, you know, so we had to start it. Or, you know, it's like being back in diapers almost.
All of the configurations of the Rolling Stones reissue of Goat's Head Soup are available now wherever you buy music.
Got your own now. Call me determined. Hey, yes. Oh, come on.
Rolling Stones Goat's Head Soup All Access was produced in New York and New Jersey by Near Perfect Productions for Polydor Interscope UME. All rights reserved. No portion may be reproduced without the written permission of the producers. Special thanks to Paul Sexton for the Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and Jimmy Page interviews, and Jamie Hartley of UME. I'm Dan Meir. Thanks for listening.
Au revoir, merci.